Our guests today are Chris Overton and Mustafa Webby. Now, Chris is an Academy Award-winning director, producer, and CEO of Slick Films, which won the Oscar for the Best Live-Action Short Film for its debut, The Silent Child. Now, Chris's Slick Films is setting the new standard in film, extremely high-quality cinematography and powerful storytelling has been pushing Slick Films into the forefront of not only in British film, but on a global scale. Slick Films has established itself as one of the UK's most exciting up-and-coming indie production companies, collaborating with international filmmakers and winning over 100 international accolades, including the Academy Award. Also with us today is Mustafa Webby, is a Lebanese producer and entrepreneur based in London, mostly known for his financing ventures in the world of shorts, with 25-plus film credits to his name. Mustafa's passion for storytelling shines through in each project he takes on. And in 2019, he co-founded Dolphagon, an incentive that has successfully financed and supported 20-plus short films to date. He took on the role of head of short form at the Academy Award-winning Slick Films in 2023 and leads the short and commercial departments along with his team. He is currently leading production with agency Havas Health and You on producing content for Novartis. Now, Mustafa is producing a short film, Kit, with Slick Films and developing feature film Dr. Zeno based on the award-winning short Return of the Beast from Outer Space, further showcasing his ability to identify compelling and entertaining narratives. But both of them are here today to talk about the Slick Films Fund to discover and nurture emerging talent in the short film sector and support the next generation of filmmakers. So ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome Chris Overton and Mustafa Webby to the show. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you, Ward.
Well, it's great to have you both here. And Chris, in the last couple of years, what did you and Mustafa notice in the film industry that inspired you to create this Slick Films Fund for independent filmmakers?
Yeah, I think it's just getting harder and harder to get funds for shorts, you know, and it does seem to get even more competitive at the top. Obviously, with this year's, you know, Oscar nominees, you've got Netflix in there, even on the shortlist, Disney, Sony Picture Classics. It seems like it's getting a little bit harder. So we want to do our bit, you know, we want to give back after doing so many shorts, and yeah, try and make that a little bit easier, instill some hope back into the short film community.
Now, for you, you won the Oscar for the short film The Silent Child in 2019. What is your feeling on companies like Netflix and Disney coming into the short film category? I mean, we got the surprise this year with one of the major studios actually winning and kind of left the other four independents out in the cold.
Yeah, I think it's a great thing that shorts are being embraced by those big streamers, right? Because I think actually that's the way to raise the profile of short films. We you know, if we can go at the top with the Netflixes, the Disneys, Amazon, Paramount, that's great. But I just hope that that will be spread to emerging filmmakers as well. Because otherwise it will just become impossible to get that start. I think, look, short films, especially the Oscar category, everybody knows, I think, that that award is the one attainable award, you know, for new filmmakers. A first-time filmmaker can make a film and go all the way and win the Oscar, you know, and it's a place where dreams can happen, you know.
Well, that's the category, and I 110% agree with you that that's the category that makes dreams happen. So I was really pulling for the independents this year. It didn't happen, but like you said, it raises the profile of that category. Now, for both of you can answer this next question here. When you receive submissions, What exactly are you looking for in the screenplay?
Quality, I'd say. Most importantly, is quality. Genre doesn't matter. Length matters, like, you know, 21 pages. We're trying to aim for that, up to 21 pages. But it's really the quality of the writing and whether there's just, you know, a message in the story that the audience can take away from it. So you kind of know a winning script when you see it, when you read it. I don't know, Chris might feel similar or have a different opinion.
Yeah, I think myself and Rachel, who's the other owner of Slick, Rachel Shenton, yeah, we've always kind of been drawn to those films with a message and with a heart, and things that can kind of raise awareness for important topics. And I think that's kind of what Slick Films has become, a place to raise awareness for important issues through the power of film. However, we can't just be that, you know. I think we look for films that are, that can be entertaining, because ultimately film is about entertaining an audience. And when we have, when we have our slate, we've got 9 shorts in post-production at the moment. We don't want them to all be the same, you know. We want, if we put them together, we want to take an audience through a bit of a journey. So I think we are missing a bit of comedy. We've never done a horror, but we've got something on the cards there as well, which we can perhaps talk about. But yeah, we want a bit of diversity there in genre and characters and story, don't we?
Yeah, well, yes, because I noticed this past Oscar season, and I'm not talking about just the films that were nominated. You know, there's, you know, the Academy has to go through probably as many as 150 shorts and whittle it down to the short list and then finally the nominations. This past season, these films were very drama-oriented. They were dark. There was a lot of very, very deep subjects. And you bring up something that I was going to ask you anyway, but you beat me to it, is I want to see more comedies. I wouldn't mind seeing a compelling horror-derived short. I want to see more warm and fuzzy. And because I think the category needs to be, I think, well, it did, like I said, this past season, it was dark. I mean, and every film that I had to watch, I was like, can somebody do something that makes you feel good inside and happy? Because, man, I'm not going to say that they were depressing, because all the films were excellent, but the subject matter, some of them were very, very hard to swallow. And, but I want to bring, well, I want to mention 4 films that Slick has done. One of, 2 of my favorites of the year so far, In Too Deep, and then By Any Other Name, which is directed by Daniel DeVille, who I had the honor of interviewing and absolutely fell in love with that film. Then you have the George, which, boy, that's a, that pulls at the heartstrings. And then there's Isla Soledad, which does too. And with each of those examples, what compelled you to get those produced?
I think, again, you know, it's just those stories. I think Daniel DeVille, Mustafa was very involved in that film as well. It was you know, it's an important topic, sex trafficking. And I think he struggled to get it made or someone to buy. And I think we fell in love with it, really, and what it was trying to achieve. But ultimately, I think it's... we just connect to the story and the characters. I don't know if you want to add to that, Mustafa.
Yeah, no, just to echo what you said, it was just really about a serious topic that is quite sensitive to touch on, but quite important to put on screen and at least just try to get people to talk about it. Because if you don't, it kind of just dies down and it gets maybe more dangerous. So it's really just how severe the topic was and how you just need to put it on screen somehow.
Yeah, and it is one Very, very excellent film. And I really pray that that film goes a long way this film festival season. I know In Too Deep, when I watched In Too Deep, I'm thinking, yeah, this could be knocking on the Oscar door.
Well, you never know. I mean, thank you very much for that. I mean, it was such a, you know, team effort with everyone involved. It was, as you know, from speaking to myself and Rebecca last time, it was tough to make. We had a lot of, we have a lot of issues with the film through COVID.
Through COVID, yeah.
Yeah, but it was great. And obviously it deals with AI. And what I personally fell in love with it when I read the script for the first time was that combination of grief, which is quite a common topic in film and short film. You see a lot of those, but also combined with technology, that balance and that ending, you know, just really took me by surprise. So obviously good timing as well with the strike. It was good for the film that the writer's strike happened.
Yeah, and see, that's what I love them about the magic. Well, George did too, because with By Any Other Name, George and In Too Deep, they have that moment towards the end. And when it's over, it leaves the audience pondering and thinking and really feeling what the characters have gone through. To me, that makes a stellar short film.
Yeah, I mean, I'd agree. I think we love George and Greg, the director, is my best friend from 13 years old. So to help him go through the filmmaking process, because that film was something that I was helping him out about 10 years ago, do a version of this film. And then he wanted to write it into a novel. And then he came up with this film, and then he was going to do it traditionally. And he just didn't like the idea of, you know, having a full on crew. And he just said, I want to shoot it really low key. And then, you know, we discussed the idea of shooting it on Super 8. And then it just kind of came together. But, you know, just the way it's very inspiring, Greg, is how he got that made, you know, for really, really cheap. And just he just went out and did it with a few crew members, you know, and it's just beautiful. And like you said, really pulls the rug out from underneath you.
Yeah, it really does. Now, for both of you, tell us about this Slick Films Fund. What is that all about?
Or Mustafa?
It's a way to, I'd say it's a way to continue doing what we're already doing, which is making shorts and giving opportunities to filmmakers emerging or existing in the industry, but trying to do it in a kind of grander scale and offer a bit more than we already used to. I pushed for this as well because, you know, Slick is kind of the perfect company for a film fund. As you've seen, there's like 30 plus films on the slate, some in post, some already finished. And we're kind of at a point in our industry career where we've got a lot to offer, and we want to hear more stories. And, you know, it we get a lot of inquiries personally through Chris's email, my email. And sometimes it's hard to give every filmmaker, you know, the chance and you know, give them the fair time to see their work and evaluate their work. So kind of funneling it all in a film fund where no matter how many people submit, we actually get to read everything and evaluate and take a good pick. We thought that's kind of like a no-brainer. We have to try it out and do it. And it's just something me and Chris are, and Rachel and everyone at Slick were like so passionate about.
Well, I was impressed, and for the first time filmmaker, because of this fund, what does the winner get?
So we've got two categories in this fund. You've got the main fund and the first time filmmaker fund. For the main fund, it's pretty much open to anyone who wants to compete in that category. Winner gets £10,000 in funding, mentorship, and you know, a list of perks from our partners, from London Flair PR, Bolton Film Festival, Festival Formula, Cinebox, Director's Note. I hope I didn't leave anyone. And then the first-time filmmaker category, it's a little bit low-key. It's basically for first-timers. And a first-timer can be anyone, really, whether in film school, already graduated film school, someone who's probably had 10 credits but hasn't led a project yet. I've got an inquiry about that. What's a first-time filmmaker? And it's you can be a crew member, like a cinematographer or anyone, really. But if you wrote your first script or if you're producing solely your first film, you're a first-time filmmaker and you qualify for that category. And yeah, you get a little bit of perks. A free camera package if you win that category, £3,000, and also mentorship. So we tried to distinct both, obviously, just because, you know, first-time filmmaker, like, for example, The Silent Child was a first-time filmmaker, and it was done for a very small budget. So we're trying to advocate for first-timers to try to do their films for as low as they can, but also without, obviously, diminishing quality. So yeah, that's trying to separate both.
So are you expecting a huge overload of submissions?
We hope. Yeah. I don't know how Chris feels. I think we have opposing opinions, but it's like my feeling is it's either going to be like on extreme ends.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, who knows? We could have like a couple of hundred submissions, which, you know, we're prepared for as many as we get. You know, we've got a really great team of readers, we're just excited to see all those scripts out there. But like most of us said, we get so many inquiries. This is just the best way to consolidate them and be fair to everyone. Yes. But yeah, I think hopefully, you know, the support package is really well-rounded as well, you know, from publicity to festival strategy, mentorship. And, you know, we've even got Network Ireland Television, who are distributors they specialize in the short film world, to have a meeting with them and to have filmmakers chat about distribution, which with a short, you never really dream of getting your film, a platform where you might actually get a little bit of money back. Like, you know, that's great. So we've really tried to make it well-rounded. Yeah.
You know, when you first announced it, I was so highly impressed because I have seen so many films. I have people who come to me and say, "Hey, what are you doing today?" I'm like, watching screeners, you know, because it's constant. But Slick Films, and I'm not just saying this because you're here. I really mean what I'm about to say. Slick Films is raising the bar when it comes to short film storylines, short film production. Cinematography is feature film quality. You never put out a bad film. Everyone that comes out, I can't wait to see it. But what I love is you're focusing on the independent filmmaker. You're giving them a chance. You know, a lot of them are sitting around thinking, okay, what do I do with this screenplay? Where do I go? Would anybody listen to me? So for any of you out there watching and listening, and you are a first-time filmmaker, let me break down the Slick Films Fund. If you are the main prize winner, you're going to receive mentorship from Slick Films Academy Award winners Chris Overton and Rachel Shenton. You're going to get consultations with London Flair PR, which that alone is huge because I've done so much with London Flair. You're going to love them. Adrian Barber of Bolton Film Festival. And of course, Chris, you mentioned the Network Ireland Television for distribution. Also the in-depth festival strategy, which I loved because a lot of people don't know how to navigate the film festival circuit. And this is crafted by Festival Formula. Also a full technical DCP package from Cinebox and a feature in Director's Notes. That is an incredible package that you gentlemen put together.
And we're still trying to build it, aren't we? We're going to try and, you know, we're in conversation, as Mustafa said, like with camera houses. So we just want to, we want to just make that £10,000 go completely on screen, but we want to like almost, I don't know, double that by different various things like camera packages or whatever. We just want to, yeah, just really squeeze the juice out of this film and just, yeah, would be very ambitious with it. Well, you know, you can change society, but also it can hopefully do well quite well critically and with awards too.
Of course, you know, one job I would not want is to be part of the team choosing the winner, because I can imagine how extremely difficult that's going to be. But break this down. Who is eligible? Is this open globally or only those in the UK?
It's so currently we're, because it's our first year as well, we're opening it for filmmakers and based in Europe and the UK, but it's essentially for scripts that can be executed in the UK. So a writer can live anywhere they are, like anyone all over the world can apply as long as their script can be applied in the UK.
Well, okay, so that means if, let's say, someone from South America makes a submission, and if they win, as long as they film it in the UK, it's all good.
Yeah.
That's right. And there is another part to this, which I don't know if we've spoke about yet, but there's going to be five finalists for the main competition, right, which will all pitch to a live audience at the amazing Bolton Film Festival. We're very proud that we're doing this in association with Bolton Film Festival and the film festival directors Adrian and Zoe, who are just amazing. I think how they have got that Academy badge on their festival is unbelievable. But so the five finalists will pitch live to an audience, and then the audience will form part of that vote and will decide the winner on the day. And the first time filmmaker section will announce that winner on the day as well. So quite exciting, yeah.
Very exciting, and takes a little bit of pressure off of you.
Yeah. A little. Yeah. Makes it a bit more fair too.
Well, yeah. How did both of you meet each other?
Actually, Mustafa was an exec producer on In Too Deep. So I first met him on set of In Too Deep, right?
That was like the first time we met.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we met through the writer of In Too Deep, who I've known separately, and In Too Deep led to other films. Really enjoyed working with Chris and his team. He's, you know, he built a really close team, and I just kind of kept pulling in, and then here we are.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. That's one of the things that impresses me with Slick Films, is that it's not just UK based. You have literally reached out on a global scale. I mean, when I talked to Camilo, when I interviewed him, and he's the director of Isla Soledad, ladies and gentlemen, he told me how you all met. And I thought it was the coolest thing ever, because the greatest thing about the film industry is that everybody wants to work together. Because it's probably one of the strongest network type industries in the world, because you can do multiple projects almost at the same time, but everybody wants to work together and everybody can learn from one another.
Yeah, and I mean, that was kind of by chance. It was actually Omar Juarez, who's the director of Isla Soledad, and I met Camilo, who's the producer of Isla Soledad, through Omar. I don't think Omar was on, he couldn't make it on your show. The first time I met Camilo was actually out in Mexico. I was very lucky to go and fly over there. And I think I met him on some director's tour that we did together. And I just kind of stayed in contact with him. And I said, look, I'd love to work with you if you've got a script. And we got to read Isla Soledad. It was just, you know, right up our street. It was just beautiful. But I have a real soft spot for foreign language films. So I think I would, you know, my dream is to kind of just continue that. And I'm sure Mustafa feels the same. and the team at Slick, like we want to be global. We want to tell stories from every pocket of the world. I would love to do, you know, a co-production over in Japan, or, you know, in South Africa, in Iceland, like, you know, all those amazing places in the world, like we could get together and make films, you know. That's the beauty of this industry.
Yeah, I mean, even this past season, I probably watched more foreign language films than I did English speaking films. And but I've always loved subtitles. So I have no problem sitting down watching if it's a short film or even a feature film, because your brain just soaks in the content and you're following along, and it's not hard. But my goodness, there have been some of the most incredible storytelling across the globe, which is why, to me, Chris, even for you, Mustafa, Slick Films, you are literally going to be the leader. So for those at Netflix and Prime and Disney, they better be looking over their shoulder, because you're coming.
Well, that's very nice of you to say. I don't know about that.
I believe that.
Can I ask you a question? I wanted to ask you a question. You don't have to answer it, but I wanted to know who you thought should have won the short film Oscar. You know, obviously, I might be putting you on the spot there, but like, you watch so many short films, you interview so many amazing filmmakers. I just wondered who you thought
okay
would have liked to see win.
You're the only person that I will answer that question, because I interviewed everybody in the category except Wes Anderson. He, you know, tell you the truth, Wes had no idea. He figured that he had no chance. But leaving him out of it, because I know there were people who liked Henry Sugar, but I talked to Academy members, and from what I was told from Academy members, nobody was voting for Wes, because they were like, that category belongs to the independent. Yeah. Now, Misson Harriman's The After was a leading candidate only through the magazines, Variety, Hollywood Reporter. Everybody was saying, oh, The After's going to win, blah, blah, blah. And it's a great film. But then you had Invincible from Vincent Rene Lordi. And that was a great film and very Oscar-worthy. Incredible storytelling, cinematography. I told Vincent I love the way that he used the lighting, the colorization, the shadows, even told the story. I mean, people have to, you know, I dissect this stuff like a surgeon. Then there was Knights of Fortune with Lasse and Christian. And I know Kim Magnuson was part of that project. Incredible film and Oscar worthy. It was worthy of a win. Then there was Red, White, and Blue by Nazrin Chowdhury. I placed Red, White, and Blue and Knight of Fortune as the top two front runners. I know everybody was choosing The After, had the shocking moment in it, but when I looked at Red, White, and Blue and I looked at Knight of Fortune, I was like, okay, these to me are the front runners. A lot of the Academy members that I talked to in private, they really loved Knight of Fortune. It was just a story that everybody can relate to. If you've ever lost a loved one, you can relate to it. And like you said, Chris, grief was a very major topic in the majority of a lot of these short films this past season. Mm. But then you had Red, White, and Blue. And I had a very in-depth discussion with Nazrin. The film was stellar from beginning to end. I had an Academy member said, well, I liked it, but it was slow in parts, so they were leaning towards Knight of Fortune. And then I had to think, I go, slow in parts? I said, that's interesting. I'm like, no, I guess it's all based on the eye of the beholder. I didn't think it was slow. It was building up to something no one, literally no one saw coming. And even to this day, people know the impact of Red, White, and Blue, but nobody openly talks about the twist because it's extremely uncomfortable. It's extremely to bring it up in conversation because you don't know how to bring it up because it's not a feel-good situation at all. But I told Nazarin, if you win, you are going to cause an earthquake, a ripple effect from coast to coast in America. And tell you the truth, I really wish she would have won. I loved Knight of Fortune. Deserved it. I respect and love Lesse and Christian. They are excellent young filmmakers. They've got incredible ideas. And this was a story that was kind of based on a personal experience. I believe it was from Lesse. But with Nazarin, I was really looking for the earthquake. And because she knew how to explain the narrative without pissing anybody off. You know, so if it was me, and I know that because of the storyline is a political narrative, but it wasn't in your face. It was just bringing something true to life, but then putting in a storyline that nobody ever thought of, would even dare to put on film. She did it with such grace, with respect. Stellar cast, Brittany Snow. But if it was me, I would have given Nazarin the Oscar.
Yeah, I'm really pleased to kind of... it's a tough one, isn't it? I think, like you say, it would have been nice to see those subjects, you know, get their moment. But look, you can't take anything away from Wes. He's been nominated 8 times and he's finally won. It's just a shame that for that win, he wasn't actually there.
And you know what? He wasn't there. Cumberbatch wasn't there. And I really thought that the reason why Wes never showed up, I think he really thought he wasn't going to win at all. Because he's like, here we go again. But when it was announced, I mean, oh my gosh, there were parts of that audience I could hear a pin drop. Because there's a lot of people that were literally stunned. Because everybody I talked to, nobody picked Wes to win. So what I found out after I was doing a little bit of investigative reporting behind the scenes, the voting of all 5 films were so extremely close that Oscar would have gone to anybody.
Right.
Interesting. You know, so this was, it was probably, I'll tell you the truth, Chris, and Mustafa, this year's short film category was far closer than 2023. Because in 2023, I was pulling for An Irish Goodbye, which won. Love the warm and fuzzy, the humor. There was one that had a little bit of some great humor in it. But Cyrus Nesvad's The Red Suitcase, that was a very, very close second place.
Yeah.
You know, and the magic of that film is the... And the magic of that film goes along with George Tsoukas's The One Note Man, where George's film had no dialogue. In The Red Suitcase, you had some dialogue, but the main character never said a word, which actually played into the whole suspense of the whole story. So,
yeah,
man, tough categories.
Yeah, there's so many good shorts, isn't there, out there? They really are. Yeah.
There were some that I was extremely disappointed that weren't shortlisted.
Our males and females.
I saw it.
I can't believe that wasn't nominated or even got to the... I just cannot believe that. I really can't.
I agree. And when I talked to Ahmed, I mean, he did everything right. And I complimented on him. I said, it's a beautiful film, and you tackled a subject in a way that most people never even think about. And what I loved about walking into dangerous territories and what I call dangerous narratives, because there's so much in the media, is he handled it with great respect and grace. Mm. And I agree. I was shocked that he wasn't at least shortlisted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it happens every year, though. There's one or two that you go, well, that's a definite. Souls of Totality was one in 2019. I was like, oh, that is a guarantee. I mean, they pulled out all the stops. They filmed it in the middle of a solar eclipse. What have you got to do, Ward, to get nominated? It's the most incredible film. And yeah, I think that, yeah, it happens every year, though. There's one or two that you just cannot believe. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, to me, the two films that I was shocked that did not get shortlisted was The One Note Man.
Yeah.
It was Perfection. And The Stupid Boy, which in reality, that was probably my favorite film of all season.
Wow. Okay.
Because
it was really good.
Okay, so you know, I should be part of your package to explain something. I think the only negative on The Stupid Boy, it wasn't the storyline, it wasn't the cinematography. Everything from that film from beginning to end was beautiful. And my gosh, still to this day, I can picture the ending and I almost want to have tears in my eyes. But you've got to get your film accepted by as many people in the film industry as possible. And that comes down to your log line.
Mm.
When I first read the log line, I'm like, I'm not interested. But I accepted the interview and I watched the film. And as soon as I saw the film, I'm like, and it didn't matter who else I saw. That was literally my heartfelt favorite, because the ending is so gripping that everyone on this planet needs to see that and understand the power of love.
Mm, yeah.
But yeah. The log line. When I saw white Christian supremacy, I said, then when I watched the film, the very moment was this. I would have never even mentioned it in the log line. I would have never mentioned it in the PR press release and write-up. I would have focused on the neurodivergent, but I would have picked a more compelling, warm, heartfelt type log line to get people to watch it without telling the ending, because the narratives, depending, like if it's America, you know, where you got a lot of Academy members, other parts of the country, maybe the UK, you hear the word white Christian supremacy and all of a sudden you're thinking of some Nazi.
Yeah.
It's a negative instantly. I would have changed the log line. And so I literally wrote an article, and I believe I actually filmed the video to where I explain. Oh no, I did the video. I explained to up and coming filmmakers, especially when it comes to the shorts, your film may be stellar, it may be Oscar worthy, but do not screw it up with the wrong log line. We live in an opinionated, diverse, divided world. Don't be part of the division. You're here to get your film to be seen by everyone. So sit there and focus on the log line, because I think if the log line was different, I think he would have at least been shortlisted. Because if he would have been nominated, hands down, I would have picked The Stupid Boy.
Yeah, interesting. We'll have to have you part of the Slick Films Fund package. Get your log line designed by Ward Bond.
Well, I mean, for you, I mean, okay, so let's say that you have all of these films coming out this year. And of course, you've had films last year as well. For all of, you know, first-time filmmakers that are watching or listening to this right now, how important is it to sit there and look at the log line when it comes to press?
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that sometimes can make us go, yeah, we'll put this to the top of the reading pile, you know, because we get loads of inquiries and mm-hmm. yeah, you're right. That log line makes you go, oh yeah, that's good.
Well, okay. Yeah. I'll tell you what happened. So remember the film from last year, Shadow Brother Sunday, which was executive produced by Francis Ford Coppola. And it was directed by Alden Ehrenreich, who was also in Oppenheimer. When I read the log line, and then when I watched the film, the log line already told me the whole film without me even having to watch it. Mm. That's a no-no.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got
to,
you know.
It's supposed to be a hook.
Exactly. Exactly. See, that's the thing I loved about short films. You want to have that twist. You want to have that turn. That hook, that ending. And with your log line basically just explains to me the whole film. Because then when I watched the film, everybody, even Variety Magazine was raving about it. I watched the film and I'm like, nah, okay. It looked like a Coppola film because of the cinematography was exactly Coppola.
Mm.
You know, it has the look. But again, the log line... And of course, when I watched the film was good, but there's nothing there at the end. I was like, okay, maybe you produced a 20-minute trailer because I want to see the full feature film on this one.
Mm.
You know, and I've seen some, and of course, both of you probably seen some shorts to where, you know, they could have gone full feature on this one.
Mm. Absolutely. So, most shorts have potential, yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, that's my two cents, and you're the only one I've ever answered that question.
Thank you, Ward.
So, besides the... Oh, let's get down to the nitty-gritty here, and the most important thing. When does the submission date start for the Slick Films Fund, and when does it end?
April 15th. That's your early bird starting date. May 15th, regular deadline, and then June 15th is when the late deadline starts, and final deadline is July 15th. So we've got April 15th to July 15th as a window.
I'm glad you did the dates, Mustafa.
I saw you kind of like look at me a bit. And then announcements, we're going to announce the 5 shortlists on September 1st. That's when we're going to invite them to show up to Bolton Film Festival, and the Bolton Film Festival event will be on October 5th. That's a Friday, 4th, sorry, October 4th, which is a Friday. That's where the live pitches will happen in front of the jury and the audience. And that's when we will announce the winner.
And then I get the interview with the winner.
Yeah. That's adding to the package now.
Yeah.
Yeah, to be professionally interviewed. So, and oh man, I can't wait. This is so exciting. Ladies and gentlemen, I know we're that excited. With, you know, so many of you who watch my interviews, you listen to them, you're filmmakers, you're trying to learn from people like Chris and Mustafa. And this is what it's for you to learn, to gain insight, and to create the next Oscar-winning film. And for both of you, what else is coming up for 2024?
Oh, blimey. Yeah, we've still got a lot of shorts on our slate. You know, we're trying to consolidate them. But yeah, Mustafa's producing a beautiful film called Kit. You know, we hope that Mustafa will be back with the writer-director, Lottie, to talk about it. That we've got, some beautiful short films. The winner of the Outstanding Screenplay competition was the most amazing film called Mina Finds Her Edge. It also won Holly Shorts Film Festival. And the idea of the winner of the Outstanding Screenplay competition is so that we get to produce that film. It's a director writer called Robin Rose, and the script is unbelievable. And for us, it's first because it's a horror comedy. So two, you know, we don't do much comedy, or we really want to, but we've never done a horror. So this is really new for us, and the perfect balance, and it's amazing, you know. And yeah, we're trying to get feature films off the ground. We've got a slate of those. So yeah, lots of exciting stuff happening as well. I mean, I don't know if I've missed anything, Mustafa.
The roster.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe you can touch on that.
Yeah, we've announced our director roster, if I may. We're opening up a little more to the commercial world because we enjoy doing them, and we've got a selection of 10 very talented directors on the Slick Films roster, whom various winners and different awards and categories, and even in the commercial world. So we're really excited to have that announced, because we wanted to offer more options to, you know, our clients and potential future clients too, and have it on the website so they can actually see the quality of the work and how different these directors are. So they can kind of, like, there's a large spectrum of commercial directors.
Wow. Yeah, we hope to, work with certain brands as well and encourage them that, actually, there's a different way you could do a short film for your brand. I mean, Ford did the most amazing short film, and it's kind of the brand takes a back seat, and it really is like an amazing short film, but there's scenes in a Ford car. So a lot of brands are open to that, and I think it's a really smart way. So they'll do an entire short film with character story, just like any other short film, but it's kind of like got that brand involvement. So we'd love to do a little bit more of that as well, which is really cool.
Oh, I would love to see that. Because I remember when BMW would do short films. Of course, you know, the car was always the star, but, you know, you would see this short that they would place online. And of course, the publicity, doing a short film with a brand just goes global. And those are stellar ideas. I have a feeling, Chris, that as big as the name Slick Films is going to become, because you're already climbing up that ladder pretty high and you're pushing that bar above everyone else, sounds like to me you may have to start building a soundstage.
I mean, yeah, who knows? You're very kind, Ward. But yeah, that's maybe something for the future, eh?
Hey, indeed it is. Hey, ladies and gentlemen. If you are a first-time filmmaker, it is time for you to get those screenplays in. Head over to slickfilms.co.uk, click on the Slick Films Fund, and starting April 15th, start submitting your films. Look, you could be the lucky filmmaker and win to be announced at the Bolton Film Festival, and get the education of a lifetime from Academy Award-winning filmmakers Chris Overton and Rachel Shenton, and so many more professionals. This package that they've put together is so complete. If you're a first-time filmmaker, you sit down, you have the dreams of doing a film, but you never think about the publicity. You don't think about the film festival circuit. What in the world does it take to get in that? When do you submit your films? Because some of these things you have to submit sometimes with major film festivals 6 months in advance. You're going to get an education like you've never had before. And when it's all said and done, well, you're going to be a professional, and you're going to be smarter than, well, the rest of them. But here's the great thing about the film community. We take our knowledge and we share it with everybody else in that community, because everybody wants to work together. Chris, Mustafa, wow. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing this Slick Films Fund. Boy, this is one of the best things I have seen come along in the film industry in years. And kudos to both of you and your whole team.
Thank you, Ward.
Thank you so much. And it is open to everyone as well. There is just to clarify that, there's a first-time filmmaker section, but anybody can submit. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, there's two packages, ladies and gentlemen, so anybody can submit. So get those screenplays tightened up and dot your I's and cross those T's starting April 15th. Get them in, and you never know. You could be standing on stage at the Bolton Film Festival and having your name announced as the winner. And then you'll be talking to me.
Let's go.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you can catch all of the replays of our interviews with the top film directors, producers, and screenwriters, as well as actors and more on Bond on Cinema. We're also available on YouTube as well as a dozen audio platforms as well. I want to thank you for watching and listening. And as for me, either I'm going to see you at the movies or from the red carpet.
Price Piggy. Makes me money day and night, this one. Multi-talented, aren't you? Best of all, she never squeals. Why don't you do us a little matinee show, eh? And just stare at me. Did the clown already?
Let her play.
Stop that bus! Stop!
You work all the time. We barely see you.
Max, stop this. It's like you decided you don't want to deal with him anymore.
Do you want to be out on the streets? Because that's where you're going, mate. Open the door now.
You made me think that we could be a normal couple with a normal life.
They poisoned me, Charlotte!
I've got eat on for the week. How the hell am I going to live?
Flight 10, take one.
I could do this forever.
Yeah, I know. I think we got it. Okay, wrap.